Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to another episode of Let's Talk TV Live. I'm your host, Barbara Barnett. I'm executive editor of Blog Critics Magazine and proprietress of the Let's Talk TV TV blog. We are sponsored this week, as always, by Wireless One Marketing. Get a hold of Wireless One Marketing by visiting letstalktv.barbarabarnett.com, clicking on the icon in the right sidebar. If you want an app for your business, they are great to work with, affordable apps. Tell them I sent you, and if you want to download the great app for Let's Talk TV, do it right now, and you will be very happy. It's free, available on iTunes and play.google.com. And we are joined tonight, as usual, by our Once Upon a Time panel of expert watchers. Jimmy, hello, Jerome Wessel TV. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How is the weather in Ohio?
Oh, we had a rainy day. But that's okay. I like rain. I'd rather have rain than heat.
Yeah. Oh, and Chrissy has heat.
Yes, I'm dying over here. It's like 91 degrees here in Seattle. It's like we have no air conditioning here. I mean, not in like our apartments and stuff. So it's torture.
And we are in the Goldilocks zone here in Chicago.
Yes.
We are having 75 degrees sunny weather and no rain.
I'm jealous. Can I, like, I'll just come right over.
It is like
75
gorgeous.
Is like perfect. I don't think it should ever get hotter than 75.
It is like Hawaii here. It is so perfect. I cannot believe it. Well, we've had really horrible weather here. We've really had horrible weather.
Well,
and
I guess we'll allow it then.
You know, just let it stay that way till through the 4th. We have tickets to see Book of Mormon for Wednesday night. Have not seen it. Cannot wait. We have fourth row center seats.
I'm anxious to hear the review for that.
I can't wait to see it, and I'm looking forward to it. And I know, Chrissy, we're gonna get to Once Upon a Time in just a couple minutes, but I do have to say – have a couple of things. And Jimmy, maybe, I don't know, have you seen Ray Donovan, either of you?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So after Chrissy and you and I talk about, and Meredith, I'll get Meredith in on the conversation as well. We talk about Skin Deep. Maybe Jimmy, you and I can talk about Ray Donovan, which I wrote a review of last night.
Me too.
Oh, cool. Okay. So
I wrote it like Friday, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did too, but I didn't post it till last night. And maybe we can talk about it. And I love Liev Schreiber. He's one of my favorite American actors.
I love him. He's so good.
I saw him on Broadway, and I just adore him. And he's just great. So, but the other thing I wanted to say as I was talking to Chrissy about this is I have been getting, my mailbox has been inundated with Comic-Con invitations. I am just overwhelmed, as usual, trying to just keep up with, can you come to this, can you come to that? And my calendar is getting really busy. So I'm like, but I'm reserving Saturday as the Once Upon a Time stuff. And I still haven't gotten my stuff from Once Upon a Time. Now, I know it'll be coming, but I, you know, it's
I'd rather know earlier than later.
Yeah, and I know,
you
know, the invitations really didn't start coming till like Friday. And what happens is they get a room, and they also have to know which people are coming, you know, who's in the cast's coming. Because then what they do is they send out a press release that says, okay, so here's the big panel in Hall H. Or in room or in room 20, which is like the TV room, and these are the cast that's going to be here. And then following that are going to be the press rooms over at the Hilton Bayfront, and we're going to be in Aqua blah 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 or Aqua blah, blah wherever they're going to be. And please RSVP Now, whether you get in or not is another question, but
right.
you RSVP. So they send that to everybody, I think, that's on the press list, pretty much, mm-hmm. that covers TV. So so I think everyone gets that stuff. So, but they have to know where they're going to be, what time they're going to be, and who's going to be there before
right.
they send out the press. So I think for the bigger shows and the movies, they need, it takes a little longer. So
yeah.
I looked at my stuff from last year, and it was all, it's like most of the stuff I got was like late June, early July, even like into the second week of July. Like
wow.
I didn't get anything from Elementary or from Revolution. I think it was like the
oh,
week before.
Man.
Most of the stuff I got
Revolution.
Last year came like the week before, really.
What,
it started.
What theater are you
really,
going again?
The 17th through the 22nd.
Okay, so you'll be there the week before I am, because then I'm going to the GH fan club weekend thing to cover that.
So
I'll have a lot of stuff.
Well, that'll be fun. Well, so far, do you want to hear what I'm doing so far?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Oh, you got to tell Jimmy what you just told me a little bit ago.
Oh, well, I'll hold on. I'll get there. So
okay.
Sci-Fi's got a new show called Helix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be going to that. I'll get a peek at that, and I'll go to the press room for that. That's all set. Black Sails, which is a new series. On Stars, right? New
mm-hmm.
series on Stars. I'll be going to that. I'm just waiting for all the details. Vikings, which is, I think, a
mm-hmm.
History Channel thing.
Yeah,
it is.
I'm going to be doing some interviews with them. Konami just invited me to their suite. They're having a special suite for introducing the new Castlevania Lord of Shadows 2, which normally I'm not a big gamer of that sort. And my readers, you know, I mean, my readers are TV people. However,
right.
my readers would be definitely interested in this one because who is the voice of the main character? Do you know, Jimmy?
Yes, Jimmy.
I do not know.
You do not know?
Let's just take a wild
no,
guess.
No, I'm not a gamer person either. I don't really pay attention to
take
video games.
Wild,
oh,
take a wild, just take
God.
A wild guess.
Well, since it's concerning you, I would say it would have to be like Hugh Laurie or
no,
Robert Carlyle or somebody.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, there you go. Robert Carlyle.
Yeah, because he just he actually tweeted that he had recorded it earlier this summer. So, yeah, so I'm going to get to have, like, first chance to look at it and hear it and play with it and stuff. So that'll be fun. Then DC is doing a big do to open up the Comic-Con at Petco Stadium, right? That. And then Bates Motel, I'm going to open up with the motel people, and then Hannibal. I mean,
oh, Hannibal's good.
Those folks. Yeah. And then
I haven't seen that.
I haven't either.
You should.
I
just watched it. I hate horror movies. I hate the Silence of the Lambs and the Hannibal movies. Can't stand them. But it's Brian Fuller who did Pushing Daisies and Wonderfalls,
right.
the show. And it's really, really good.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm going to
check that out. And then Sidekick, which is a spoof on the superhero thing, which looks really, really funny. And it's a kind of a short. And so I'm going to do some coverage on that as well. So there's a bunch of other stuff as well that I'm sort of mulling over. There's a whole bunch of sci-fi stuff. Adult Swim is going to be there. And I'm kind of mulling over what I have time to cover. There's just like Being Human is there. I mean, there's a ton of sci-fi stuff there that I just don't
Being
know
human
what.
Being
yeah.
Human would be good.
Yeah. I think I covered it last year, but there's a lot of stuff. Children's Hospital is there.
I love Children's Hospital.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to have time to cover because there's a lot of stuff that overlaps with other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Veronica Mars panel announced for Friday night.
What was that?
The Veronica Mars announced the panel, I believe,
yeah.
for Friday night.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
there's like a ton of stuff that's announcing every day. It's funny because the Hollywood Reporter said, we have the complete schedule for everything at Comic-Con. And it was like last week, and I was like, I looked at it, and I was like, no.
This is not complete.
They did not.
Complete so far.
Complete so far, yeah. So there's all kinds of cool stuff that's happening that is every day.
Well,
there's new stuff.
It's like
so,
True Blood going to be there
and
the Vampire Diaries and all that.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is going to be there. Jack Black is going to be there. First time since 2005. I just got a press release from
that. Oh, that's cool.
So,
I love Jack Black.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of stuff. Oh, by the way, last week's show had 25,000 listens.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
wow,
no, I'm
that
not
is kidding. Crazy.
25,000.
So they actually liked what we had to say. I always think, who cares what we think?
Well, I think they liked our guest. She was lovely.
Yeah,
wasn't
that
she?
Was amazing.
Christina.
Yeah, you missed it, Jimmy.
You missed
it.
You missed Morella from True Blood.
She was great. She was fun.
She wouldn't tell us if she was coming back on the show this year.
Well, she's pretty sure she will be. Well, but
that,
I guess that doesn't stop people from coming back to True Blood. I mean, that actor's on there all the time.
Well, did you see True Blood this week, you guys?
Yes, I actually did watch last night's already.
Yeah? Oh, wow. You watched it already. You're not
I
wrong.
Know. I'm like,
I'm shocked, Jimmy.
I know. It was
okay,
really good, though. I like this season.
His daughters are like freaking like 12 years old already.
I know. It's crazy. And I was so excited to see Anna Camp return.
I know. Oh my God! It was
okay,
so good.
So I have to. I have to do a little dig here. There's this person, and she's going to go nameless because she doesn't listen to the show anyway. So she only follows me when she wants to. She writes for a very, very huge TV pop culture site, and she goes to Comic-Con, and she follows me only when she wants to DM me and tell me who she's interviewed this week.
Oh, Lord.
And then she follows me, and she has these DM conversations with me, and then she unfollows me.
That's so weird. Why do people do that?
She's like, yeah. So I said, I'm just about to do my show. I'm interviewing Christina Annapau. Oh, well, who's she? I said, well, she's a character on True Blood. Oh, well, she's not a character. She must be like an extra. I'm like, what?
No. No,
well,
this person
she's
did not,
not
say that.
Yeah, she did. And
oh
she did
God.
Say that. And she says, well, she must be just like a background character because she's not on the show, really. She's not really in me. She's not really a member. And I really don't, I didn't really watch the show. And I'm thinking, oh, God, did they set me up with someone? And she's like, no, she's like a real character. And,
she's not a main character, but she's pretty important.
She's an important
she
character.
She is important.
And so this person is like, oh, well, she's not. It's like, okay, well, she was like so diminishing, this interview I was doing. I was like, well, screw her. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that on the radio.
Oh. Well, seriously, that's awful, though.
I know. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. I thought she was my friend. Huh.
That's
huh.
crazy.
Anyway, that's that. Okay, so we need to talk about Skin Deep.
Yes.
Because I know, Chrissy, you need to go. Oh, let's bring Meredith in.
Bring Meredith in.
Hey, Meredith.
Hello.
Hi, Meredith. Are you sweating, Meredith?
What?
Are you sweating? It's dying. It's just so hot here.
Yeah, it's pretty hot here, too. It's like 85.
It was 91 today. Anyway, go ahead.
You guys need to make it cool in the next 28 days because I'm going to be in Seattle very shortly.
I can't wait. You're going to love it. It's going to be nice.
Well, I've been in Seattle like a bunch of times.
Well, yeah, but hopefully it'll be like nice weather and it won't be too hot. It'll probably get cooler.
It was hot. It was hot the last time I was there. But then we went to Mount Rainier, so it was cool when we were there.
Okay. Yeah, it's nicer up there because, you know, you're higher up, so.
Yeah. Well, this time we won't. We're going to probably go whale watching off Ana Cortez.
Oh, cool. Arcus Island. Oh, cool. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Skin Deep.
Okay.
And so Skin Deep, to me, I was looking for my script because I have a copy of the script and I couldn't find it. But to me, it's on my computer somewhere. I've got 18,000 files on my computer. And to me, Skin Deep still stands as the best episode of the entire 2 years of this series.
I agree.
Yeah, so
that's a tall order.
It was just so good. I mean, I've watched it, I don't know how many times.
So it is a great episode. It's the first episode of the show that I was like, oh, this show's good. Because before that, I wasn't really into it. And then that show episode kind of made me pay more attention.
That's the episode that when people ask me, they say, okay, so everybody's talking about Once Upon a Time. What episode should I watch? And I say, watch the pilot. Watch
and
episode 2, and then watch Skin Deep. Because you have to sort of get an understanding of how the show works. And then
you have to, like, and then the introduction to of Rumpel, too, in the first two episodes, you know.
You have to understand the character of Rumpel, and you have to understand the character of the Evil Queen, and then watch Skin Deep. And once you understand those characters, and then you watch Skin Deep, and then you really, really understand. So to me, the writing is just gorgeous. I think the story of Beauty and the Beast, I mean, the story of Beauty and the Beast is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten, though, that it departs so dramatically at the beginning, where Belle's already like Princess Belle. She's not some poor person living in the village.
Right. They monkeyed with the story even from the beginning, because she's not the daughter of a, you know,
of the
village
town
merchant
idiot or whatever.
That makes her strength and her confidence seem a little more natural. Like, it works really well for the character, the way they've developed her, to not have her be this poor person who wasn't part of the going-ons, to have her be this noble person that stands up and saves her people.
Right.
I think that they also did that partially because they wanted to show what stakes there were if, you know, the rumors spread around them that, you know, if, you know, it was known back there in the Enchanted Forest widely that they were a couple, that, you know, they'd be saying, well, he's trying to get a foothold into the kingdom now, isn't he?
Who?
True.
Rumpelstiltskin, you know, messing around with the princess, you know.
Well, that would be, where are you go? I mean, you mean by the end of the story?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying if it had been known back then what they were to each other, you know, their rumors would have been running very rampant.
But they wouldn't have, I mean, they weren't together at the beginning of the story at all.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying if things had progressed, you know, and she hadn't been kicked out.
If Rumpel hadn't kicked her out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think Belle would have cared.
Yeah.
I think had rumors swirled and they had been, you know, speculating, that's actually an interesting question. Had Rumpel not kicked her out and had she stayed, what would have been the issue? Would that have endangered Rumpel in some way and Belle and Rumpel's, but he's a pretty powerful guy. What would he have done? Would he have done something to Belle's father and his armies?
Well, I don't think he would have unless they came after him. I mean, the whole thing with that Gaston coming to the door and then he changes him into a rose, and
I love
was brilliant. I love that part. And, you know, and then he's like, oh, just an old woman with a, selling mm-hmm. flowers, which totally goes back to the original Beauty and
yes.
the Beast, you know, that we all know. And,
yes.
You know, the way that she tied it in there was really well. And then, I mean, of course, my favorite part, well, I have lots of favorite parts of it,
okay.
but I love that they included Chip. Because I kept
mm-hmm.
thinking, how in the hell are they going to do that? You know, they have to have Chip. You just have
and
to.
Chip is be, and Chip becomes such an
was,
important part.
Yeah.
And there's just there's
so
much.
Adorable
there's,
how they did that.
There's so much in this episode. There's what I think I like the best is that what we see in Rumple is that courtliness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
and I love that moment where, you know, Belle gets to the castle and she's so frightened of him. And
mm-hmm.
then he's just completely confused on why she's frightened. It's like when she breaks the cup, it's just a cup. Like, there's
just,
nothing.
Right.
He doesn't see himself the way everyone else sees himself.
Right.
He, well, everyone, well, he, she was like, oh God, he's going to hurt, you know, something's going to
mm-hmm.
happen. I broke his cup. And he was like, it's no big deal. You know, like, it's just a cup. And,
well, but
and
on the other hand, on the other hand, he really fosters that frightening impression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
and
true.
And I think by the time that she breaks the cup, it's been a while.
Well, since he was first giving her her instructions on things, I was thinking probably day two. You know?
Yeah,
he,
that's
he's
what
giving
I
her instructions on her duties.
Yeah,
but
he's
I'm thinking
her
it was only day two. She was still in the gold dress, not
yeah.
the blue one.
Yeah, but he's... He's actually, I mean, he's kind of thrown her into her cell, and he's actually not doing anything to really endear himself to her. He's
right.
he's sort of, you know, he's thrown her into a cell. He's kind of trying to intimidate her. You know, he's not trying to
a little
make
bit,
himself
yeah.
very nice to her. And when she breaks the cup, of course she's going to be frightened of him. And
right.
the fact that he reacts the way he does, I think maybe he's trying to disarm her.
Yeah, and well, and two, the other thing is, you know, I mean, then the next scene that you see is her trying to take the curtains down.
I love that
scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that scene is great when you know, and then he's like joking with her, you know, oh, I spin the wheel because it makes me forget, and then she's like, forget what? Oh, I forgot,
okay,
you know?
Okay, so I want to talk about that scene because you've got that,
yeah.
okay, so... So he says, I spin the wheel because it makes me forget. And that's actually
right.
a really poignant moment from a moment.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a real truth to that. And then he
that's
turns
it
around and he makes it into a joke, which is so
yeah.
very typical
mm-hmm.
of someone
right.
who's afraid of their own emotions.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you know, he's keeping her at arm's length. That's
right.
how he does it. He does it.
And then,
yeah.
and then. So then he goes over and she falls into his arms. Oh, no, before that.
That
so
I love that.
So she says, what, have you nailed these shut? Because
yeah.
she's like, no.
He's like, yeah.
And he's like, yes. And he's very serious.
Uh-huh.
Very, he's like, yes.
And she
like,
looks at him like, I guess he's serious for real. You know, kind of. And then when she falls into, that was, I love that scene.
Oh,
and then he was like, I think, he was like surprised at how he was. Because he definitely was feeling something at that point, you know.
And he's so bewildered by his feelings.
Yeah.
He's so, I just love that. There's something incredibly romantic about that kind of a moment. And he just plays it. They both do.
Yeah.
But with him especially, there's a turnaround from the Rumple that we know to this
right.
very... this very gentlemanly, courtly, romantic figure that wasn't
well,
there
like,
before.
I think that's how he
mm-hmm.
is before he became Rumple. I mean, that's him. You know, that's his humanity coming out on that.
A noble, very
that's,
noble character.
Yeah.
Which was why
exactly.
I always thought, and this gets right back to my Ogre War thing, which is why I had always thought that the reason he stopped, see what he did by walking away from the Ogre War, turned the tide, that he did something. And it wasn't. It was a very personal reason. And I thought it had been an act of nobility. It was, in a way, an act of nobility.
Yeah.
But it was personal, though. It wasn't...
It was a personal... It wasn't that it was going to... Well, it didn't affect other people. Just him.
Didn't affect other people. But
yeah.
But there's a definitely... There's a streak of nobility in him. And a great deal of intelligence. I always think, too, of the character... I've said this before. Of the character Heathcliff in the book Wuthering Heights. Where
mm-hmm.
Heathcliff, who is an abused victim for a lot of his young life... goes off, he runs away, and when he comes mm-hmm. back some years later, he is educated and he is wealthy, and
right.
he is he's different. He's a gentleman, he's a noble, he's also extremely cruel, but he is the most educated man in the room. He's well read, he's intellectual, he is rich, he is very much a different person than he left. And that I always think of Rumpel as being very much this kind of raggedy man that goes off, and he's like, all of a sudden he's become this wealthy, educated, noble aristocrat.
Right.
How did that happen? I want to know how that happened.
Well, you have to figure 300 years of reading and experience does
yeah.
make for this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and then
but
the other thing
only,
I like about
you can't
it.
Get that only, but you can't get that only through reading and experience. What else?
Yeah, I think that that's probably one thing that you'd think that they'd bond over is they both probably love books. It's just more
yeah.
visible with Belle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay,
definitely.
So let's keep going. Keep going in the episode.
Then I was gonna say I like the parallel how they, you know, back in Storybrooke, where,
mm-hmm.
you know, the initial confrontation with her father, who doesn't remember anything, and, you know, and you could just see that, and then when he loses the cup and goes, what the other scene I thought was just so funny, there's that scene with David, when David is buying the Valentine, the two
Oh,
Valentine's
I love that
day.
One.
Oh, yes.
And he has...
Yeah, he's looking at him like,
mention.
Are you kidding me? You think that you have this big secret everybody in town knows?
I know, and it just cracks me up. Well, there's that, and then there's the fact that nobody is, like, looking at Mr. Gold twice. He's got rope. He's buying rope, duct tape, and some other stuff. And obviously...
thinking some little project.
Yeah, just a little project on the side.
Out of the Mr. Gold element, like, just... encountering David like that and that conversation they have is not
yeah.
like anything else that Mr. Gold does in the series. So it's really cool little bit. This episode had several parts of like normal town life, seeing the
yes.
pharmacy, seeing the girls have
right.
their girls' night out. We've lost that, and that makes me a little sad since
yeah.
the
yeah.
magic came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to say, you know, I really love the banter that always goes on with Prince Charming and Rumpel, and I have to wonder if Mr. Gold, you know, once he has memory back and remembered what he was thinking, boy, Charming, I really, really miss you the way you used to be. You've turned into such an idiot.
Yeah,
very well could
really
be.
I'm really sorry I helped you back then.
Yeah, I really loved it, and we are both when, you know, he walked into the pawn shop and, hey, oh, yeah, we're right back where we were.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly. But, yeah, that was just such a great scene. The whole thing that – the weird thing, though, is when he finally gets the father, you know, and he's like, you were her father. But it's weird. I thought it was weird that that Mo is not saying anything like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, Rumpel is hitting him and stuff. But I'm just saying I thought that part he should have at least said that once or twice, saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Because he doesn't have his memory. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't know what she thinks.
Well,
his false memories were either. He may have had
right.
a memory of a Adar who's now deceased, you know,
well,
or something like that.
Too.
You don't know if he was simply never married, never had a child, or what.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
but
true.
You also, but you also know that, but he's also into Rumpel for some bucks, and he's
yeah.
the vaulted. So he might think that Rumpel's beating him because he's beating, you know, because he owes him money.
Right.
But he's saying, you know, you hurt her. I mean, Emma's like, what the hell's going on here?
Right.
Probably
what,
thinking he was crazy and demented.
Yeah.
That he in no way was talking about.
It. And Gold almost never loses his cool.
Yeah.
Well, he really.
I mean, he's completely right when he points out that taking my van the day before Valentine's Day, that's not going to get you your money back. It makes no logical sense.
Right.
You know,
right.
From that standpoint. And obviously, Gold's not operating from a position of logic. But
no.
Nobody else knows that.
Pure emotion. He's operating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because Rumpel is so much emotion, and Gold
right.
is so much rational man.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
and that's really the dichotomy between Mr. Gold and Rumpelstiltskin in so many ways. But
yeah.
at that moment, and until Belle enters the picture. And in that moment, it's Gold is all about the emotion and, you know, about vengeance, about what he believes he did, that her father did to her.
I've always wondered if Belle had made it back, what would have been his reaction? I mean, you saw what he did do in the crocodile.
Right.
Actually would have kept her mouth shut. She wouldn't have said, oh, by the way, I'm in love with Rumpelstiltskin. She would have figured, well, it's over. Better just move on. Keep quiet.
Right.
Well, one of the other scenes that I love, too, is, I mean, when he realizes, you know, that the queen comes back and says, oh, you know, he abused her, blah, blah, blah. And then he was all hopeful. He was like, oh, you mean that she needs a place to live? And I felt, like, so bad. And then she says, oh, no, she threw herself out the window. And then that was just awful, too. I mean,
yeah,
that
just, that moment is just
heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking moment.
And the queen's just pure cruel. She's really stretching it out and playing it to torture him, just showing you, like, how low she can go.
And she's lying.
Yeah.
And she's lying.
Oh, well, yeah,
like,
that too, but...
She's lying.
It sounds
lying.
So real, too. I mean, she was
right.
convincing, that's for sure.
And she's
yeah,
convincing.
And
him.
I think that, you know, in The Evil Queen, I don't know if you people caught this, but that part took place right when Belle was staying with him, when she was staying with him, because he mentioned, oh, I got a new servant girl. She didn't answer the door. Sorry. Anyway, but that was when he was showing her what everybody thinks about her, and then she, not terribly long later, turns it around and says, well, this is what everybody thinks about you.
Right.
Right.
Needed cleansing, and because it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, she was very much getting revenge on him for that, in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
It made me a little bit sad that the Evil Queen was talking about needing help with a certain mermaid, and that has not paid off yet. I want the Little Mermaid story.
Yes,
I wouldn't be surprised if it came this coming year.
I mean, it makes sense to tie it into Neverland, but, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they introduced Ariel and maybe even Pocahontas, for all you know, since they also have Indians there.
Well,
that's true.
Yes. Too. You know, I would love for them. I really want to know what the backstory is. Like, how did they figure out that they could call Rumpel to stop the ogre wars?
I think a lot of kings have made deals. I mean, Midas is probably one, and King George is one. They probably changed his business card, kind of.
Wait.
Pocahontas wouldn't be in the fairy tale world. Pocahontas would be in the real world.
So you're asking how was it that you know, who told Rumpel to come and stop
them? Well, first of all, Belle knows of Rumpel, says so to her father at the very beginning. And how did he make the decision that he wanted her? Like, I feel like there's a backstory to that, and that, you know, that he had to have seen Belle or knew Belle, or there was something about that, because, you know, why would he, that was his deal. You know, he wanted her.
Well, I think it's for the most part initially was simply, number one, he wanted company, but also he always, for his hugest deals, when he's asked to do something really, really big, like Star Wars, he demands something like the equivalent of your firstborn child. It doesn't mean that it has to be, you know, a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
It can simply be a grown child.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose. I really think there's got to be some reasoning, because he doesn't make a deal. He doesn't just come up with something out of the blue. Everything
no.
that Rumpel does is calculated. Everything that he does is thought out, and it's going to
right.
get him from A to B.
And
that's
Rumpel,
what his motives,
you know,
are.
Rumpel and the Ogre Wars, I mean, they go back a ways.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's had a reputation probably for stopping them several times. That's probably why
right.
they called
him. I mean,
him.
Remember, he led the children off the field.
Right, right.
Right, he stopped them before for his own reasons, without a
right.
deal. He doesn't.
But then
like
he lost
open.
Bay, and the rest is, you know, I mean.
Right, right. He lost Bay, but he had stopped the wars before.
Yeah, I've always wondered, why is it, you know, he's simply asked to prevent everybody from dying, but he isn't asked to stop it this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
well, he's
know.
Asked, yeah, I don't know. He's asked to stop the attack on the kingdom.
Right.
And,
you know. Well, the other thing, I got to go in a minute, but another
I
thing I wanted to bring up really quickly was I liked the banter between Regina and Gold. When she wants to ask him a question, he's like, and we'll, when I want something, then we'll have that little chat, you know. And
mm-hmm.
he just popped her cold. And then, you know, obviously, you know, he knew that she took the cup. And, you know, I just love anything that they do together is amazing. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I love them in scenes.
That conversation in the jail cell.
Wasn't that great?
Well,
that
whole exchange between, okay, that whole, and I know you have to go,
yeah.
but that whole thing with the jail and, you know, Emma saying to Gold, now, I know you don't want to be locked up. And he says, I do not. And she doesn't know. Emma doesn't know. I mean, he spent how many years in prison?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Again,
right.
I think it was just a few months.
Okay. But time is relative.
Time is different in fairy
tale. Time,
I
think time is relative. I don't think it was a few months that we think of as a few months. That
no,
did not happen in a few months. He did not get the way that he was in a few months that we think of as a few months.
Right.
It's just not possible.
Yeah.
He's hundreds of years old. He clearly aged.
Well, yeah,
but,
and that was the other thing. Yeah, I mean, lately, just watching these other ones, I mean, you can see when he's younger, his teeth aren't as rotted, whatever, then by the
right.
time he gets to this point. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And his clothes are in tatters. I mean, his clothes are in tatters.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in
right.
a few months. So
yeah.
time,
yeah.
I think, is relative. It's like, you know, Noah lived to 900 and something years old. Not in our years.
Right, right.
In fairy tale years.
Fairy tale years.
In
right.
dog years. Each
in
year
dog
is
years.
900 years old.
My dog
each
is 120
like,
something years old in dog years.
There you go. There you go.
But that whole thing about him not wanting to be in prison is very, very interesting. And but then when he's in prison and that whole thing with the cup and Regina really taunting him with the cup because she knows
yeah.
about the cup.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of dangling it just out of his reach. And the way his eyes just track that cup.
Yeah. He
and,
was like terrified that she was going to drop it.
I know.
She
really,
face.
Really was. And that's just brilliant acting.
Oh.
And he finally gets it. And the way he holds that cup is, again, it's not in the script. This is none of that scripted.
No.
I read
all
the script.
Robert Carlyle.
That's right. That's all acting, ladies and gentlemen. That is acting. That is masterful acting. The way that he holds onto that cup as if it is his lifeline,
exactly.
Is just says more than any five pages of dialogue.
Well, and two, you got to remember, he thinks she's dead. That's all he has left of her. How much he loved her and all that. So, you know.
After all these years, I mean, it is an eternal kind of love.
You know what I find so heartbreaking about that whole episode? I mean, really, really heartbreaking. Well, the thing is, you realize he had to turn that curse over to Regina because he couldn't kill somebody he loved. But he had actually had the opportunity with Belle, especially once he thought she'd betrayed him, right? But anyway, and if he had enacted it himself, he could have made himself Mayor Gold instead of, you know, Regina Mills' mayor. And he could have broken the curse because he would have still been in charge of it. And he probably could have left town 28 years earlier. He wouldn't have needed Emma. He wouldn't have needed a savior. He wouldn't have had to wait. And he may have been able to get to Bay back when he was still 14 or 15. He passed the opportunity to raise his son. He was willing to wait those 28 years in order to spare Belle's life.
Right.
And now we know that Belle's true kiss can break the spell. It was healing him from being the Dark One. You know,
yes,
the gold
was
fading. So that seems like that's got to be a possibility. That's got to be something that could still happen now. I mean, obviously they can kiss now and it doesn't necessarily break the curse, but I feel like the secret to him getting rid of the Dark One could very well lie in Belle.
Well, I think that the Dark One has already, I mean, his better nature has really become much more dominant. And as long as Belle is in his life, real Belle, not Lacey Belle, as long as she is in his life, that's why he brought her back. He needed her. And in the finale, I think she is his strength that allows him in the end to go on the ship, take his, you know, the globe, and really get them to where they need to be.
Yeah,
and
I have to wonder with Regina and Hook on that ship and Belle kind of out of sight, you know, how morally he's going to be able to keep it up. Different land, different rules. And again, is his appearance going to revert, go back?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because now he's got Henry. And I think Regina is going to be Regina. Regina and Hook. I don't think Hook has anybody to be good for.
I think he kind of likes Emma. So, I mean, I think in some ways she's the reason he turned back.
Yeah, you know, he kind of likes Regina, too.
Considering that it was only that day that he turned her over to be electroshock treatment, I don't think they're going to be an item anytime very soon.
I think that he and Regina are very much...
It can still happen. I'm just saying she doesn't forgive easily or at all, and the fact that she ended up in that horrible pain because of him... She's not going to be willing to overlook that.
Yeah, but you know what? They are both very self-serving and self-absorbed. And Emma is not self-absorbed. And Gold is not self-absorbed.
No.
And so I'm looking at the different personalities. And Regina is very self-absorbed. Hook itself, they really are quite well matched.
Right.
Gold, I think you've got Gold and you've got Snow and you've got David. And I think there's a chemistry in that threesome. And their family. Remember, those guys are all family.
Well, that's the thing, too. They're all connected. And
by Henry and by Balefire.
And by Bay. And when he finds out Bay is alive, that's going to be, I can't wait. I really hope that we're not going to have a lot of I hope there's not going to be, 12 episodes in back over there. You know, I hope they bring him back quicker.
Yeah, I think they've learned
for this season.
I keep wondering if Bay is going to make it over to Neverland and then they all go home together, or if he'll make it back to Storybrooke and meet Belle and be on their own for a while.
I don't know.
I do want to, before you leave, and I do want to make sure that people know that if you guys have questions, if anyone listening has questions for me to ask any of the cast of Once Upon a Time or Adam and Eddie, please drop me a line at barbara.barnett@blogcritics.org. And that is barbara.barnett. Okay.
First few titles of the episodes.
Yeah. I'm gonna repeat my email address, barbara.barnett@blogcritics.org. So make sure you email me, guys that are listening, panel, you too. Make sure that you, because I'm leaving on the 17th, and that would be Wednesday, the 18th, not the 20th, I think, 17th, 18th, 20th. I think will be the day of the Once Upon a Time stuff will be Saturday like it was last year. So, but Skin Deep was just such a great. There's one more scene, and I know Chrissy, you got to go. So if you need to go, go.
I will go in, but you know what? I mean, I love this. What's the next one that we're supposed to watch?
What are we gonna do next, guys?
I was thinking the finale, and then I think we should.
I kind of like to go back to 7:15 a.m.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
I know that it sort of fell before that, but
you know what? I want to get into season two though.
Let's do the finale, season one finale, and then we can start with season two.
You don't want to do the return?
Oh yes, I do kind of want to do the return.
I really like Red Handed.
Yeah,
I like that one too. But I think the return might be better.
Yeah.
What do you think?
The return, the finale,
and then we'll do season two, and we'll do season two, as much of season two as we can.
Okay.
We'll skip of season two, but we'll do more of season two than we've done of season one.
Okay. Cool.
And we'll do some skips. We'll have to skip during Comic-Con, and then I will be out of town. Well, I won't be out of town on Mondays. I'll have to see.
Well, just shoot me an email or whatever, DM me or whatever.
We'll be doing the next couple weeks. I'll have to see how things go. But I will be broadcasting during Comic-Con if I can get access to internet while I'm on the floor. Well, you know what? There is internet, but it's really, really sketchy at the convention center. It's really sketchy. So I'm going to try to find a quiet place, and I might even broadcast from the convention floor if I can find a quiet enough place. So we'll see.
Everyone have a good 4th of July.
Okay,
you
happy 4th of July. And we'll keep talking, guys. So, Chrissy, have a great barbecue.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
Bye.
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 So there's another scene that really struck me in Skin Deep. There were so many great scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where just after Belle kisses Rumple and the curse starts to fade back and he realizes it and he realizes who put her up to it. And
I've always wondered what Regina had planned. Was he simply supposed to walk out of there not being the Dark One anymore, or was she planning on murdering him the moment he was mortal again? Did she have something more planned?
She could have. He was mortal. She could have killed him.
Yeah.
His power would be gone. He would be without his immortality, without his magic, he would be vulnerable again. He could be a victim again. He could lose everything.
And a lot of people would probably be out to kill him for, doing things to them over the years.
and he would never be able to be reunited with Balefire.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, no curse. He was so close.
Right. He was so close. And he would never be able to have Balefire again. And that would be like taking his life. It would even be worse than killing him. To leaving
him
with
no
hope.
He isn't continually put in this position, you know, of choosing Bell or Bay, because let's face it, he chose to bring back magic, you know, and look at what harm it's done to her since it's arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it always seems like he's choosing one or the other and going back
well,
and
it's
forth.
Only, I think it's only been the one time, though, that he's has made that choice. I don't think he's gone back and forth too much.
Well,
I mean,
he did choose to leave town right after she lost her memory, you know, and he was taking a bit of a chance with that.
Well, but it has always been his decision to go find Balefire. I mean, it has always been his mission to go find Balefire. That's why.
Yeah,
he
I just hope that I'd love to see some scenes, you know, real scenes with Bay and Belle in season 3. See them bonding and becoming friends, talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think
love
that would
to
be
see
nice
that.
To see. Yeah, and I think that we might see that. I loved the scene where you know, he throws Belle when he tosses Belle out. After he puts Belle into the cell, and he trashes his house, shatters everything. Someone knocking at your door?
No, sorry, that was my wife throwing something in the trash can.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you guys listened to the commentary. Jane Espenson asked Robert if that was a lot of fun to trash the set like that, and if ever done anything like that before. And of course, if you know Carlisle's movies, you know very well he's done that before. If you've ever seen the movie Trainspotting,
I still have not.
He has exactly done that before, where he has trashed an entire hotel room. It is the final scene of the movie Trainspotting. And,
oh, now I have to watch it. It's spoiled now. Okay.
Now, oh, well, it's not what the movie's about. I have not spoiled the movie for you.
I'm just kidding.
You better
I've
see it quick.
I've got it on my TiVo. I just haven't got around to it.
And they are going to do a sequel, so you better see it.
I heard that, yes.
Yes, Irvine Welsh, who lives in Chicago. Yay! As bad. They're going to do it. Danny Boyle is on board. I hear all the entire cast is on board, which actually, until last year, Ewan McGregor was not. I guess he and Danny Boyle had a big falling out. And he, over the movie The Beach, of all things, which, why? Why? Was not the greatest movie of all time. It was not the best movie that Danny Boyle has ever made. Bad casting of Leonardo DiCaprio. But yeah, anyway. But yes, I understand he's on board, and it would be wonderful to see them do the remake based on Irvine Welsh's sequel to the novel. You got to see it, Jimmy. But yes, the crashing of the room, and then he goes in to release Belle, and you know she makes that statement. You know, all you have is an empty heart and a chipped cup, and right, and he just closes his eyes. And in the commentary, he actually says that actually moved him to tears. That's her her delivery of the line. And he says he thinks they cut it because you can't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. I just got a new Comic-Con email here. FX announces its Comic-Con slate. Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Did I go to Archer?
Archer's awesome. I love Archer.
Archer
that cast is going to be fun.
Archer, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Sons of Anarchy.
I don't watch Sons of Anarchy. That's one of those ones I feel like I should watch, but I haven't.
Archer, I've got H. John Benjamin, Aisha Tyler, Chris Parnell, Amber Nash, Lucky Yates, and then I've got It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Do you know that show?
Oh, yeah, I love that show. It's been on for like 8 years.
Rob,
it's like a much ruder version of Seinfeld.
Oh, okay, right. I've seen it. Glenn Howerton, Charlie Day, Caitlin Olson, and Danny DeVito is going to be there.
Yeah,
well,
he's been a
star
since season two.
Oh, and then Ron Perlman, Katie Sagal.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
Jimmy
Sons
Smith.
Of Anarchy. Yeah, I should watch
Paris
that.
Paris Barkley. Oh, cool. Oh, Paris Barkley, who is from House.
Oh.
Oh, I'll go to those.
Katie Sagal's husband is the creator of Sons of Anarchy.
Cool.
So she's got a kind of in on the show.
Those are Thursday. Oh, God, Thursday. My day is like insane Thursday. Okay, I'm going to go to those. All right. So it's like every like hour I get new. Tomorrow, I think, is going to be like a crazy day for Comic-Con. So you got to come next year, Jimmy.
I'd
so
love
are,
to.
No,
I just
so,
it's such
so,
an expensive trip. I can't swing it.
I know. So I think this is my friend Zombies. Oh, speaking of zombies, do you know what we saw over the weekend?
What?
We saw World War Z.
Oh, it wasn't any good.
You don't sound really enthusiastic. It was okay.
I try to not be spoiled on anything, so I really have very little knowledge other than that it's Brad Pitt and Muriel Enos.
Okay. So have you read the novel?
No.
Okay. It's not like the novel. And I'm not a big zombie movie person.
I'm not
but,
either.
You know, I loved Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. But that's a comedy more than a zombie movie.
Yeah, I loved Zombieland.
Yeah, same thing. I love the zombie comedy movies. I'm not into the actual zombie movies.
I thought 28 weeks later and 28 days later were good for their social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more of a social commentary zombie movie, I suppose. And it had more possibilities than it actually executed. There were lapses of logic. And stuff, but it was okay. It was okay. Maybe my, you know, I'm getting my fill of my full capacity of summer blockbusters, I guess. You know, I've seen every single one of them so far.
I think the only one I've seen is Star Trek. We don't go to the movies very often. I feel like I've got a pretty good setup at home now. You know, I got the money to get a decent sized TV and the 3D Blu-ray player and all that. And I'm like, I don't want to spend $30 for two of us to go to the movies.
Well, we've got
I'm an old fogey.
You know, we have this great IMAX theater up the street. So it's kind of nice to do that. I mean, it's like really nice theater. So we do it. And, you know, it's great. I mean, it was great to see Star Trek in 3D on the IMAX and, you know,
Star Trek was awesome.
Star Trek was amazing. To me, that was the best movie of the summer. Hands down.
I have no desire. I mean, I do kind of want to see Iron Man 3 and Superman, but I don't know. Star Trek
Iron
was
Man
the
3.
One I had to see.
Iron Man 3 was not as good as Iron Man 2.
Oh, that's disappointing because Iron Man 2 I didn't think was all that good. I loved
Iron
the first
2.
One.
And Iron Man 2 wasn't as good as Iron Man 1.
No, not at all.
And Iron Man 1 was awesome.
It was.
And I didn't like the Avengers at all. So
I liked
the
Avengers. I didn't love it. I still think Iron Man's the best of that group. But
yeah.
Thor was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't like Thor.
Oh, I liked Thor a lot.
I didn't, you know, I like my superheroes a little more cerebral, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that Iron Man was a little more, original Iron Man was a little more cerebral. Batman was a little more cerebral. Star Trek is more cerebral. So, you know, Man of Steel was not cerebral. It could have been, but it wasn't. You know, World War Z was could have been, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I just went and watched these on HBO. Or
you know, and you can tell also that by the trailers that you see, and the trailers that accompanied World War Z were all slasher horror movies.
Mm.
They were all.
I don't like that genre very much myself.
They were horror movies, and I was like, why aren't these science fiction movies? What? There was one science fiction movie trailer. The one, I can't remember what it's called. The one that is from the guys who did District 9.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm really looking, Elysium.
Okay. That was an interesting movie.
Yeah, it looks like an interesting movie. It's not; it's coming out soon, I think, next week. And I'll see that one. That looks pretty interesting. But, yeah, I'm sort of, you know, I'm kind of blockbustered out, I think. So let's talk about, are we done talking about Skin Deep?
I have one more thing to say. I really like the scenes with Emma. I know she didn't get much to do in it, but I like how she was so non-judgmental towards Gold.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean,
yes.
You know, she didn't assume the very worst about him. And she even was willing to give him half of her sandwich. And was apparently going to bring him back an ice cream cone. I think she actually felt bad for him.
She did. Well, I love this like, you know, talk to me. Tell me what I can do, what, you know, I can help. You know,
mm-hmm.
What did this person do that was so terrible? This is my job. Let me help you. And I don't, you know, he says, I don't think you can help me. And so I think she does feel his pain.
Yeah, I would really love it if in this, you know, I was kind of disappointed in season two that Belle didn't get much interaction with most of the cast. I mean, she never even got one line with Snow White, come to think of it.
Right.
Not one.
Hopefully she will. Hopefully this will all sort
of
play out.
Yeah, I'd love to see one of those bar scenes very much, you know, like the one in Skin Deep, but with, you know, Red and Snow and, you know, her and, you know, them being friends. I'd really like to see that.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see it. That would be good. I would like to see an expanded role for Belle, definitely.
I think she'll get it this time since she was left behind.
Yep. Yes, she will.
Yeah, in fact, I'm a little worried for her. I'm a little worried that when Regina comes back and finds out that Belle has been basically taking over as mayor of the town, that she'll want revenge on her.
Maybe they could have an election.
Yeah.
Sooner they got to have an election.
Yeah, well, she'll have to walk over Gold to do any harm to Belle.
Yeah,
that,
I know, but let's face it, she
that
can.
That would be interesting. That would be a very interesting confrontation.
Yeah, I would actually like to see Belle actually yell at Regina. She hasn't done it yet. When is that going to happen?
That should be interesting. Speaking of Emma, I really do like her. I really do like Emma's chemistry with Gold. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Great chemistry. Really, really good chemistry together. Jennifer Marsden does. So it was, to me, as I said at the beginning of the top of the hour, a really outstanding episode. To me, still the best episode of the season. Of both seasons. I think without a doubt. So should we go on to something else?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, Jimmy, have you watched Ray Donovan at all, Meredith?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No.
Okay. So if you want to hang on, great, and talk about that as well. If not, that's fine, too. So, Jimmy, what did you think of Ray Donovan?
I liked it. Didn't love it. I thought it was interesting, and it was definitely different. I didn't have another show I could really pigeonhole it in. My wife absolutely loves Liev Schreiber. That's like one of her top three actors, and she didn't really care for it all that much at all. So that might have colored my opinion a little bit. But, yeah, I'll keep watching. I just don't – I don't know. I didn't find anything that really hooked me in that first hour.
So it's very noir. There's
yeah.
No, it's noir.
Yeah, it is.
I love Liev Schreiber. His name is sort of the same as my son's middle name, my son's middle name is Lev.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear too many people with that name.
No.
It means heart in Hebrew. Liev and Lev, same thing. But he's a great actor. I saw him in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a fabulous actor. And I was so excited to see him in this show. I liked it. He's very, you know, very much this noir, you know, fixer in L.A. I love Elliot Gould.
Always.
I thought his character came off a bit stereotyped. I think all the characters came off a bit stereotyped, actually. And I don't know if they were just all trying a little too hard, if the writers were trying a little too hard to establish the characters, or if the actors were trying too hard to establish their characters. But they all seem just a little bit too broadly drawn.
Yeah, I feel like I liked the actors, but not the characters so much. Like, you know, I'm familiar with Liev Schreiber and John Voight and Elliot Gould, and I like their other work, so I appreciated what they were doing. But then the other characters, you know, who I wasn't as familiar with, I was kind of like, I don't really care because I don't know who they are, and their characters aren't that interesting.
Yeah, the guy who plays Bunchy, the the brother who is abused by the priest.
Uh-huh.
I remembered him, one of my guilty pleasure. I'm a disaster movie fan. Confession Time, Sci-Fi Disaster Saturday, one of my favorite guilty pleasures. I will sit there and watch. And they're so formulaic. You can literally know if it's Randy Quaid and Victor Garber in a sci-fi movie. I'm watching it, and it's either a volcano or a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado.
Or an asteroid.
Or an asteroid. Or a hurricane. I already said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway. But to me, one of the best – it wasn't a sci-fi movie. But the movie Day After Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite disaster movies of recent memory – for all the scientific inaccuracy, sort of, in it. There are some grains of truth in it, but not a lot.
What stuck out to me of that movie is I loved the vice presidential parody of Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
I only saw it in theaters. I haven't seen it since, but I did remember enjoying that.
Yeah. Anyway, he was in that movie.
Mm.
He played Dennis Quaid's sidekick.
Okay.
So, I just got a thing from Sci-Fi about the Sci-Fi Defiance Helix Being Human Warehouse 13 panels. Didn't I already get this?
Final Warehouse 13 panel.
Yeah, I think I got this. Eddie McClintock, Joanne Kelly, Saul Rubinick. Oh, I want to interview him. Being Human. Yeah, I think I already RSVP'd to this one. I think I've gotten this like four times already. You know, they start blending in together.
Yeah, I understand.
I thought he was really good. But I spent half the scenes like, where have I seen him before? Where have I seen him before? And the guy who plays the other brother with Parkinson's is actually a British actor. Did a really, really fine job with it. Did a really good job with it. John Voight, who I do not like at all, because he's a right-wing jerk. No, I'm sorry. Politics stays out of it. I don't like him. I don't like his politics. And he kind of is up there with Mel Gibson in that I usually don't like his stuff because of politics. But he's not as bad as Mel Gibson. Because I really won't watch anything that Mel Gibson does, even the stuff that by the way, political aside here, before Mel Gibson turned out to be a real jerk and a real asshole, Mel Gibson was one of my favorite actors in the world.
He is a really good actor. I mean, but
the first novel that I started to write like 30 years ago, and I always write with an actor in my mind and in my ear, was him. And I started with him, a character based on Mel Gibson standing on a bridge in Chicago in a post-nuclear wasteland about to jump off a bridge. And he stops. And it was Mel Gibson. I mean, that's how much I loved Mel Gibson, is he was starring in my novel.
Oh.
And everything from The Road Warrior to Gallipoli to The Bounty to Tim, which is a little-known indie movie that he did. Brilliant, 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 brilliant work. And something happened to him when he moved to the U.S. Although I actually have a friend who was my huge encouraging mentor in writing my house book, who is a screenwriter in Australia, knows Mel Gibson, worked with him, said he was as much of a jerk in Australia as he was when he moved to the U.S. But I literally took all of my Mel Gibson DVDs and I gave them away. I will not watch a Mel Gibson movie. But anyway, let's get back to Ray Donovan. Sorry about that.
Did you see the ratings? It was Showtime's biggest premiere ever.
I know. Anyway, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I do think some of the characters were painted with slightly broad strokes. I was great to see Peter Jacobson.
Yes, that's true.
Fun to do
he's
that.
He's not listed as one of the main characters, so I don't know how big a role he's going to have, but I liked him.
Yeah, well, he's listed as a guest star, so I don't know how often he's going to be on. I guess it depends on how his character goes over. But I like this idea of this Hollywood fixer working for this law firm and you know, Elliot Gould's character with his, you know, it's time for us to come clean on all of this. And, of course, with John Voight's character coming out of jail and now he's connecting with Ray Donovan's family and that's the last thing that Ray wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, wow, I mean – a lot of stuff is kind of coming together. A lot of nice little narrative threads have been plucked. A lot of tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tension between Ray and his wife. Tension between Ray and
his wife. Yeah, his wife, I can't get over the accent because I get so used to her in Caprica. And she, you know, had just a normal American accent.
Whoa. Was she the wife in Caprica?
Yeah, she was Greystone.
Really?
Yeah, Paula Malcolmson.
Oh, my gosh.
She was married to Eric Stoltz in Caprica.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't get over the accent. In fact, because of the accent, it took me like 10 minutes to go, is that the girl from Caprica? I don't think that's the girl from Caprica. And finally, I jumped to IMDb and confirmed.
I was like, where have I seen her before?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, I like her. And I just have a hard time getting over the accent. I'm sure after a couple hours of it, I'll adjust. But
well, all of those guys. I mean, Liev Schreiber with a Boston accent. John Voight with a Boston
accent. But his was so much more toned down than hers. Hers came across so much thicker.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense because, you know, she's in the home doing her thing, whereas, you know, Ray Donovan is out interacting with everybody, and he would acclimate quicker. But, yeah, no, it's interesting, and I don't know where it's going, which I appreciate. I don't know. I'll hang in and see what happens with it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth another look-see.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So what else are you watching this summer? Oh, did you watch the first episode of Perception?
Of course.
What do you think?
I think they're going to go to do Case of the Week stuff. And what bothered me most, I think, about the premiere was tying her backstory to the ex who's now her boss. And I'm like, why do they force these things? Why can't it just be there's a new guy that comes in and causes trouble in the department? Why does it always have to be this backstory with the romantic tension? And I don't know, that bothers me.
Okay. Do you know what bothered me the most?
What?
Is that we are back to Daniel solving cases with his hallucinated girl.
Oh, yeah. And that
who's
is
now
the
interacting.
Real version, which just,
yeah, it just kind of confuses it. And I don't think it adds to it.
No, I've thought about that show from the beginning. If they just commit to the story of Daniel, it would be so much better. But TNT can't do that. TNT has to do procedurals.
It's a really, really, really interesting concept, and it's never been done before.
I know, and you've got Eric McCormick, you've got LeVar Burton. I mean, these are actors, but I want to see
it. Yeah, these are excellent. I mean, and Eric McCormick is an excellent actor.
He's amazing, amazing.
Really, really.
And LeVar Burton is so wasted on the show.
I love LeVar. You know, I interviewed him last year. He's such a nice guy, too. I interviewed him about Reading Rainbow.
Aww.
Because, you know, he launched a whole thing bringing Reading Rainbow to iPad.
Yeah. He was just on Colbert like 2 months ago. And they read in the Reading Rainbow stuff. And, yeah, I love LeVar Burton. I've loved him forever since Kunta Kinte and Georgia Forge. And,
Yeah, it was great. All I had to do was ask him, like, one question, and he, like, talked for 40 minutes.
That doesn't surprise me. And you could listen to him talk for 40 minutes and just be like, wow, LeVar Burton.
Like, totally gregarious. I have this great reel of him talking, and it was like, oh, okay. He's just really, really nice. But
Perception, I don't know. That's one of those ones where I'm like, should I keep watching? What if it gets good?
I was really disappointed. I really, you know, it's funny because I never watched Will and Grace. So I really
Will and Grace.
I never seen Eric McCormick in anything. And I was like, I really like him.
He did another cable show for 2 seasons before this. And I can't remember what it was called, but it was an advertising agency. Set in present day. It wasn't a Mad Men copy. And it was him and the guy who starred in Ed. His name escapes me all of a sudden. But, yeah, they were both really good in it. And I just, I love Eric McCormick. I just wish he would get
a better vehicle. He's a really quirky actor, and I really like that. And he's very smart. He's a very intelligent actor. And that really comes across well. But I wish they would, spend some time really delving into his character and his issues. You know, that's the one thing that they did extremely well on House is for all of the Case of the Week stuff they did, they never shied away from trying to really get into House's psychology.
Yeah.
And I think it just because Daniel is a neuropsychiatrist who is a paranoid schizophrenic. I mean, how brilliant is that? And for an investigator who has active, he's delusional. And what a compelling character that makes.
Well, see, I think you'll like Hannibal because that lead character, first of all, the lead character is not Hannibal. The lead character is Will Graham, I guess was in the original books or whatever. But he's somebody who can get into the mind of a serial killer. And because it's Brian Fuller, it's very visual and very larger than life, like visions of things and, you know, just very artistic. But a lot of it is the psychosis of that man and what it does to his mental state and how, as he gets into these cases and gets into this world, his mental state deteriorates further and further. And there's a lot of questioning, especially late in the season, what's real and what's not because of the mental stuff. So if you want to get, like, what perception should be, go watch Hannibal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, yeah,
okay.
I really like it.
And I will do that and see if I can interview him.
And Hugh Dancy. Hugh Dancy is amazing.
I know. I actually put in a request to interview him.
Well, and the show also stars Lawrence Fishburne. And they do bring in Gina Torres as his wife on the show, which I love.
I know. I'm, like, really
excited. And then I guess the guy who played Hannibal, who the whole season I was like, I'm not sold on him. Apparently he narrowly beat out David Tennant for the role. Tennant almost was going to play Hannibal.
Really?
But the season finale this year sold me on why they picked this guy. Because this guy, I mean, the whole season you're just like, okay, whatever. He's Hannibal, but Will Graham's far more interesting. And then they do something with him at the end that you're like, wow, I can't wait for season two. I can't wait to see how everything changes. And Brian Fuller has a 7-year plan for the show, if they'll let him keep it on the air, where he's got 3 years of original material, and then seasons 4, 5, and 6 will be Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, and Hannibal, and then do a 7th year of original material to finish it out.
Wow. Yeah, here's my thing. My press release here, panel is Thursday, which will include Brian Fuller, David Slade, Martha De Laurentiis, and Hugh Dancy.
Mm.
So, no.
Oh, and Gillian Anderson's in the show, too.
Oh, Julie? Oh, really? Okay.
She plays Hannibal's psychiatrist. And she will definitely have to be in season two because she's got some secrets.
Okay.
We'll see
so
what
I actually, I've been corresponding with their PR people. So, press release, the panel is set. And I asked if there are any one-on-ones, and we are in the process of sorting it all out. Details to follow. And that was 5 days ago. So hopefully we will, I will find out soon enough. Details to follow. It's like really, you know, daily I get new things. Mm-hmm. Yes. I would. I love Hugh Dancy. I think he's great.
Yeah, I think you need to check it out. I mean, I'm not a horror person, but based on what you like, I think you would dig Hannibal.
Okay, I'm sold. It's a British. It's a British show.
No, it's American. It's NBC, but they aired it in May and June. For some reason, they aired it May and June, and it finished the first run like 2 weeks ago. And they've been picked up for a second season. And they're only going to do 13-episode seasons, which I think is a smart move.
Like the Brits. But see, Hugh Dancy is British. Gillian Anderson is essentially British.
Right. Yeah, it's American-made, but you're right. It does have a lot of British people in the cast.
And, of course, David Tennant is British.
Yeah, Eddie Izzard's in a few episodes.
Who's British.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. So, there's quite a cast. I'm looking forward to it just because, John Benjamin Hickey's in an episode. So, I mean, the cast they've attracted to this is phenomenal.
Okay, so definitely. So I can go on the NBC press site and take a look at the episodes. So now I'm getting really excited. So, good. Good, good, good. Well, we are almost out of time. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow, wow. The time flies when we're having fun. next week I will have much more of an idea of what I'm going to be doing for Comic-Con. And it will be, I think, my last episode. No, it will not be. It will be, I'll have two more episodes before I leave for Comic-Con. Whew. And we'll talk about the return. And then we'll be, and then we'll talk about the finale, and then there will be Comic-Con. So what I'll do during Comic-Con is I think I'm going to run some shows. There's a guy named Zach Van Norman, who's a brand new writer for Blog Critics, who is also a writer on the Once Upon a Fan site, the UK Once Upon a Time fan site. And we're going to collaborate on some spots from the floor of Comic-Con on the air. And I think what I'll do is I'm going to do some mini shows during Comic-Con, maybe like half-hour show one time a day. Times to be determined. Places to be determined. It's going to be sort of a day-by-day decision. So we'll see.
Follow you on Twitter for the latest updates.
Yes. Follow me on Twitter for the latest updates at B_Barnett, and follow Jimmy at Jerome Wetzel TV. So follow me, follow Jimmy, but make sure to follow my Twitter feed for the latest from Comic-Con. And I will use hashtag Let's Talk TV, hashtag SDCC for any updates about Comic-Con and my coverage of Comic-Con. And I will be updating my Comic-Con coverage almost daily from here on out, because I'll be getting press releases and requests from the studios almost on an hourly basis here on out, with at requests to promo what's going on at Comic-Con. So I'll be doing a lot of tweeting.
You should title your coverage BB Does CC.
I should do that. BB at SDCC.
Just the BB and the CC go together really well.
BB at CC. BB at CC. I love it. Hashtag BB at CC. Should I do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hashtag BB at CC. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to tweet that right now. Will you retweet me?
Of course.
All right. Well, I will see you next Monday. We'll talk about the return.
Okay, I'll be here.
All right, take care. Have a good 4th of July.
You too. Talk to you later.
All right, have fun. All right, bye.
Bye.